your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter number 2. Mark chapter number 2. I have many times looked at this chapter. There's so much within it, so practical application, so many thoughts to think and things to learn from it. And just another approach to it today. And I pray that God will speak to our hearts together. Mark chapter number 2. I want you to stand, please, while we read the Word of God. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doeth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say, Sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all, insomuch they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Let's bow our heads, please, and go to God again in prayer, just asking God to help us in the preaching of the Word of God. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you today, God, for all that's been said, done, and sung here in this place. I praise your name, God, for the sweet spirit that prevails. I pray in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit will help those who are sitting here today that's in bereavement, those that are having real serious sickness in their families, those who have problems they're facing, those who are here that they seem like there's no hope, but we know in Jesus there's always hope. And I pray in Jesus' name that you'd help them. Then there are those here that know not Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. And our heart's desire and prayer to God is that they might be saved. I pray you'd help your people that are saved. I'm glad, Lord, they just sang the song, I know I'm saved. Thank you, Lord, for that great assurance that we know we're saved and can praise your name and thank you for it. I pray you make it real to every heart, every person in the house that's not saved, that they may come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I pray today in the preached word of God that you illuminate our minds, loose our tongue, help us get self out of the way. And I pray, Father, you'd help us preach. I confess that Jesus Christ is the victor. It's in his name and for his glory that we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to preach today on this subject, elements of Jubilee. Elements of Jubilee. Now, I realize the fact there'll be much more can be said than what I'll say here this morning, but I just some things God laid on my heart. I want to talk about some elements of Jubilee that we see here in the scripture that I just read. Let me give you something in introduction. Jesus now had been Capernaum before. When he had been there before, he had healed Peter's mother-in-law. I'd tire up the Pope thing, wouldn't it? But anyway, he had a mother-in-law. Have you ever known anybody to go out and get him a mother-in-law who didn't have a wife? I've never known anybody that didn't have a mother-in-law go ask a woman, will you be my mother-in-law? I've seen a few that wish he didn't have a mother-in-law. But he had a mother-in-law. She got healed. And then he cast a demon out of a man, and he healed a leper. And so they had been aware of his power. They knew they'd been there. They undoubtedly, that was talked much about because it was miracles that Jesus had done in that place. And so they knew about Jesus, and now Jesus coming to town. Hallelujah. And anytime Jesus gets around, it's always a good time. You can rest assured. Let me just give you a few things real quickly. Now, I'm not going to preach on these. I'm going to use a different things to preach. But there'll be a crowded house. When Jesus gets there, the crowd gets interested in. Church catches on fire. Brother Steve Dixon tell me about his church building actually burnt down here the other week in Irwin, Tennessee. He said there was people there to watch it burn he'd never seen there. He had some members come by to watch it burn. They hadn't been there in a long time. And so when a church gets on fire, these people will come to watch it burn. That's what Jubilee's about, getting on fire and people coming to watch it burn. Amen. And so there'll be a crowded house, and there's a compelling love. Wherever Jesus is, there's love. God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus is love. And so there's a compelling love, the love of God. That passes all understanding of our being. Love that is God kind of love, agape kind of love, God kind of love. That love, just love. That'll be prevailing when he's around, amen. Knowing love, but there'll be some cooperative spirit. That is, people want to work together. And won't be fighting against each other, but wanting to work together, see something good happen. That happens, and we'll look at a little bit of that a little bit later. But there'll be a conquering faith. I'm glad for a faith that conquers. Amen. You know why we have a conquering faith? Because it's a conqueror that came from Calvary. When he conquered Calvary and walked out, thank God, he produces a conquering faith. And we'll say a little bit about that a little later too, but Lord willing. But anyway, there'll be a conquering faith. There'll always be somebody around to criticize and say something wrong. And that always happens, so don't worry about that. But there'll be a changed life. There's a changed life here in this man. And then there'll be some cheerful spirits. Hallelujah. I just toss that out to you in introduction. Say hallelujah. I'm getting excited about Jubilee. Just thinking about those points. But I wanted to show you something here that God laid on my heart about Jubilee and some elements of Jubilee. Number one, elements of Jubilee prayer. You said, well, preacher, I don't see prayer in this. The Bible said that he was in the house. And Jesus is a gentleman. And I believe there was a knock on the door and somebody opened the door and said, come in. Invited him. I believe that we've been to the throne of grace and we've been knocking on the door and he has been saying, come in. And for you that are unsaved, let me just toss this out to you. In Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Now he's given that in the context of the church of Laodicea. And the church of Laodicea was a lukewarm church and seemed like Jesus on the outside and wanting in. Jubilee, I want Jesus on the inside. I believe he's been on the inside around here anyhow, but I'm praying in a manifestation of his presence be so real that we'll say, come in, amen, and welcome him in prayer. Prayer is simply going to God, asking God to have a communion with him, and he's saying, come on in. And he does. And we can have that prayer time with him and pray. There is never a real work of God that there is not prayer behind it. Nothing ever really happens that's really beneficial, that really is lasting results, that really has a glorification for God that is not bathed in prayer. And so again, I mentioned to you, and I've said this over and over, but it burns in my heart. Jubilee does not just happen. As somebody has to pray. Somebody has to get a hold of God. Somebody has, God, we've been praying, we've been asking, we've been trusting God. And I'm asking you today, keep on praying, keep on praying, keep on praying. And I pray today, this morning, I hope it gets broke out here this morning, tonight, and this week. And I want God to get so manifested and so lifted up that it just gets to be so real. The presence of God. Brother Mays Jackson used to say, I hope it gets so thick with the glory of God that you have to have a seeing eye dog to see how to get around. Amen. I like that. I hope it gets so thick around here, we have to have a spiritual seeing eye dog to get us around. And the Holy Spirit will help us see like we ought to see. Amen. Are you excited about praying about this? In Acts 4:31, it says, and they prayed, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with power. That's what we want to do around here, pray. And they assembled together in one mind, one accord, and they prayed, and God filled them all up. Now you say, preacher, you getting off on, no, I'm not getting off on your wrong doctrine. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Amen. And so being filled with the Spirit is not a false doctrine. It's a Bible doctrine. The Holy Spirit came in when I got saved. And if you ever got saved, he came into your heart when you got saved. But that don't mean you're filled with him right now. He lives within you. He wants to fill you. He desires to have all of you. But what we do sometimes is hold back ourselves and quench him and grieve him. But I pray that in our praying that we'll be so close to God and getting so communion with God that our hearts will be so open to God that the Holy Spirit will just fill us and run us over, as it were, and be dripping everywhere. Amen. I pray that the Holy Spirit, honey, be dripping everywhere around us. Amen. And you, in every service, every night service, every morning service, and God just get on. And that comes, somebody has to pray. And so an element of Jubilee is prayer. And may God help us to pray. Pray without ceasing. Keep on praying. If you have to go to work, pray while you work. If you have to go to school, pray while you go to school. If you have to, whatever you have to do, do it. And while you wash dishes, pray. While you take a shower, pray. And while you're getting ready to come to church, pray. And when you pray, get here, sit down, pray. Come to altar and pray. Amen, pray. We want to pray. An element of Jubilee is prayer. And I say to God, help us to pray like we ought to pray. Amen. And God, moving our hearts to pray. And I want that to saturate us. I want that to be so real to us that we cry to God about Jubilee. Let me talk about publicity just for a minute. You say, preacher, you're talking about marketing. Now, I'm not talking about marketing. I'm talking about publicity. And I'm just making a piece. I'm using that today. And that worked in pretty good right there. But I want you to look at verse number one. And says, and it was, the latter part of that verse says, it was noise that he was in the house. Now, let me say about publicity. We have contacted radio stations and put it on radio stations. We haven't announced. We have sent out letters about it. We have invited folk to come from other states, other places, and some are coming in already. And there'll be others coming in. And we have done all of that. We have passed out flyers at houses and went from place to place doing that. And we have invited people in and passed flyers out. People have been involved in doing that. And all of that's publicity. That's putting it off. That's trying to get it out. It has been announced on the website. I guess it is on the website now. We have men around us that take care of that. I don't know. I don't understand that stuff. I'm too old to get too messed up in that right now. I'm too old fashioned. All I know to do is preach, amen. And somebody else can handle all that technical stuff up there, but it goes out over that and been announced, and people are seeing it there and seeing it other places. But I'll tell you the best, and it's in the paper yesterday too. We had a nice advertisement put in the paper. And that went to thousands of homes across Spartanburg County. And we're thankful for all of that. Hope somebody sees it and comes. All that's been done. But the publicity I'm really interested in is the fact that it get noise that Jesus is in the house. When that happens, there'll be something happening. We're not, amen. Hey, listen, when you are excited, I am excited. I'm running over. I'm thrilled. Somebody going, hey, you go to work in the morning and you're walking in and say, I can't wait to get back to church tomorrow night. Somebody ask you what's going on in your life. Sister Jerry over here came in this morning and she's walking down the aisle and she was singing. And I said something to Sister Ruth about, boy, she's happy this morning. And Sister Ruth says she comes in every Sunday morning singing. And she's walking that way, I started following her. Amen. I want to hear somebody sing. Somebody come in the house of God, glad to their church. Somebody come in singing to God. I say, hallelujah, Jerry. Keep on coming in saying, bless my heart. Amen. Help me. It'll help somebody else. And so when we come in the house of God, come in excited about being at the house of God and excited about what God's going to do and looking for God to do something and coming in like that. And getting noise, that Jubilee's here. That's an element of Jubilee, is getting it noise. Some people's going to come to Jubilee. I've had some folk that call me, and many of my, of course, Brother Tim's handling that this year and has a couple of years here for me. But so I don't talk to as many preachers as I used to, but I have talked to some that's called up and said, I was talking to this preacher, and I'm thinking about somebody up in Indiana, and so I was talking to him, and he's telling me about Jubilee, and I just want to get in on a night or two of it. And I've had others say, I've heard about it. I've heard so-and-so speak of it. You know, that's the best publicity you'll ever have, is when people get excited about what God's doing and they get telling other people, hey, glory to God. You know what happened to that woman at the well met Jesus? She went back to town, got to telling about Jesus, and said, I met a man. And they got excited, and some of them got saved before they even got there. And then some of them came and heard themselves, and they got saved. I say hallelujah. I want you, an element of Jubilee is getting it noise that Jesus is in the house.
Amen.
Telling everybody.
Amen.
Amen. Your neighbors ought to wonder, what in the world is that going on up at your house? Whoopee.
Yeah.
Amen. You're running out of the house, carrying your Bible, getting in the car, running by and saying, come on, come on, come on. Amen. Wave them on, something, tell them, come on. And getting excited about it. You go to school. Some of you children going to school. So, and some of them say, hey, by the way, we got folk taking off from vacation for Jubilee. We've got folk laying out of school for Jubilee. And some got permission, some didn't. But anyway, we sat in Mountain View the other night, and the seniors was walking down, you know, and been introducing all this. And one of the boys said, they tell what each one of them was involved in, and said he was active in detention. That's all they said about him. I reckon he was faithful to go to detention every day, so he got recognized for it. But I'm thinking about, boy, being excited about what God's doing, amen. They got noise that they knew he'd heal Peter's mother-in-law. He cast a demon out. He'd heal the leper. And boy, they wanted to come and hear about that man. And you go to school, you go to work, you go where, and you're just excited. And they'll say, what you excited about? What's going on? Don't you know we're world's in a bad shape? Don't you know things don't look good out here? Don't you know tell me about? And you say, yeah, but oh, we're having a time at church. I mean, we're having Jubilee. Jubilee's on. And why don't you come go with us? Why don't you come and just be a part of it? And they say, well, I don't understand what a Jubilee is. Say, come and see. Come and see. Best thing you can ever do is have somebody come and see what Jubilee is all about. Somebody asked me one time, I was trying to explain it to them, and I don't know how to explain Jubilee. I really don't. I said, all I can tell you right now, it's a souped-up revival. Amen. And that's a good way of putting it, but that doesn't really tell what Jubilee is. Jubilee is a time that God just manifests himself among his people and blesses hearts and encourages and strengthens and convicts and draws. And people have been saved. People got right with God. And we've seen some things after Jubilee happen around here. It was tremendous. I say to all of us, God help us be excited about what God is doing and get in on it and tell somebody about Jubilee. That's an element of Jubilee. If it's real Jubilee, there'll be some publicity going on. There'll be some talk going on. There'll be some telling going on. And it's been going on around here. That's why I'm so excited now, because I've heard some of y'all talking about it. I've heard some of y'all saying things about Jubilee. I've had phone calls about Jubilee. Had a man call me just Friday, and he said, I just want to come down. I've got some boys, grown children. I'm a preacher. And I got some grown boys, though. They're not faithful in church. And said, they love Jubilee. And I'm going to come down. I just want to come down and get in on Jubilee because they'll come to Jubilee. And I said, glory, hallelujah. They'll come to Jubilee. Isn't that good? I say, praise God. That's what we want. That's what our desire, our hearts, is an element of jubilee. It's prayer. We must pray. Don't forget to pray. Now, we're here Sunday morning getting ready. And we're in jubilee now. Don't forget that. And so we're praying. And we need to be talking about it, telling people about it, inviting people to come. But then let me tell you what we're going to do when we get here. I want you to look at verse number 2. And straightway many were gathered together, and so much there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. I could not help think about last year at the end of the week. It got filled. Now, again, I don't want to discourage anybody from coming. You come. There's always room. But people were sitting up here. People were in the balcony. People in the vestibule. And somebody told me some of them turned around and left. And that broke my heart. I want to make room for everybody. Ushers, if you see anybody going toward the car, go tackle them. And say, you can't leave. The preacher will stand up and let you sit in his place. Amen. The deacons will stand up and let you sit in their place. And somebody, you come on in, we'll find a place for you somewhere. And we'll make a place. And like I said, a parking room runs out, go out in the field and park. Amen. We bought some lots out there to park all the way out to where it runs out, the ditch. And just park. But let's give our visitors places to park. And let's really put ourselves into it. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I'm excited about it.
Amen.
Amen. But I'm now. Where I'm going to here and really getting excited about. Insomuch there's no room to see them, no, not so much about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Hallelujah. He did not have Bozo the Clown. He didn't have somebody karate that could break a dozen blocks one time. He preached. He didn't say, I'm going to show you I can step off the pinnacle of the temple and not get hurt. He didn't say, I'm going to show you something great. He preached the word to them. They didn't even have a Super Bowl screen. Amen. Just had preaching.
Amen.
Amen. Preacher, what do you do down to church? Preach. Amen. What's the most important thing you have around church? Preaching. What's the best thing that happened to jubilee? Preaching. Amen. Preaching, preaching, preaching. That's what they were doing. I want you to turn with me, please, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18. I love this. Hallelujah. I'm excited because I'm a preacher, I guess, but... I love preaching before I was ever a preacher. I love preaching. Amen. I love preaching. Used to play preaching. Old church building up beside the house where I live. My sister and I go out there and play church. It was an abandoned building, and they had some songbooks laying there, and she'd sing. Never would let me sing. But I'd preach. At least I thought I was a little fella. I didn't know what preaching. I'd seen preacher Bob Sturgill do it, amen. And I'd squeal and I'd preach and I'd do the same thing he did. Come time for invitation, I had a little white dog. I'd say, here, Trixie, here. She'd come. I've been in a lot of invitations. I wish Trixie had been there. Something would have moved, amen. But she'd always come. And I'd pat her on the head, talk to her, and take her down to the creek and baptize her. She got to where she'd almost stand up and fold her paws and wait for me to say what it was I was going to say. I don't know what I said, but I'd say something and I'd duck her under. I think about that now. Playing church. A lot of people play church. We just out there playing church, but I love preaching. I loved it then, I love it now. And there's something about preaching that you can't explain. There's something about it that no man can put their finger on and say, this is what it is. Preaching is that thing that God uses, God chose. And I want you to hear this out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is them that perish foolishness, but us which are saved is the power of God. How about that? Preachers, that ought to stir every one of us and make us shout. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but Hallelujah. Unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So I'm preaching to you today, Christ is the power of God, the wisdom of God, and that Jesus Christ is the only Savior there is. The only way to get to heaven is to be born into the family of God. Ye must be born again. Hey, quartet sang that song. I'm glad I know I'm saved. You can join the church. You can get ducked underwater. But if you don't know Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and your Savior, you cannot go to heaven. There's a miracle work of the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. And God said, faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And God chose the foolish to preach. And I praise God for preachers. I thank God for those coming in. They'll be doing the preaching. But I say hallelujah. Preach, preacher, preach. Amen. Preaching. God chose preaching. Paul said, talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and 2, preach the word. Preach the word. That's the first instruction he gave to him. Isaiah 58 and 1 says, cry aloud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgression, house of Israel, their sin. God said, lift up your voice and preach. He didn't say just mess around and piddle. He said, preach. Just thought I'd throw that in. Amen. Amen. Spit a little bit. Had a deacon down in Tennessee. Said he wouldn't dare sit closer than 3 pews back because I'd spit on him. I'd hate to raise my children in a church where the preacher never spit on any of them. Not deliberately now. I'm not talking about going around spitting just to be spitting. But when you get to preaching, and they get to spitting out sometimes, and I know that happens. It embarrasses my wife, but don't bother me. But when a preacher gets to preaching, he forgets about all that stuff. And hallelujah for preaching.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Love preaching. Hey, young people, y'all used to sing that song, I Love Preaching. Don't forget it. It's a good song, amen. Well, I got to hurry, sure enough. I want to talk about personal effort, and I'll be through here in a few minutes. Don't worry about it. Chicken will keep. If it's not chicken, bologna sandwich, you can make it anytime. Personal effort. I want you to look at verse number 3. And they came and coming to him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed where the sick of the palsy lay. Now here's personal effort. Everybody got involved. Here's 4 men brought one to Jesus. And they all put their efforts together to get him there. And we've talked about many times about that, and love and prayer and faith and works. That all works together. We have to, but they worked together. Those 4, each one picked up a corner of that pallet or whatever it was he'd land on. Each one picked up a corner and carried it and got him to the house of God. When they got there, they couldn't get in where he was. Not the house of God, that house he's in, but they got there, the house of God, because he's there. Wherever he is, that's the house of God. They got him there, couldn't get in, so they went up on the roof and took out part of it and let him down. They had faith that they ever got him to Jesus. Jesus could do what needed to be done. And the Bible said, if you'll notice it, when he saw their faith, T-H-E-I-R is plural. That means when he saw their faith, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He said to the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven. I say hallelujah. I am glad, praise God, they put their efforts together and they brought that one to Jesus. Amen. Let's put our efforts together. Element of revival, of jubilee, is the fact that we are going to put our personal effort into it. These people taking off, I said, from work. These people working in the kitchen. These people working cleaning up buildings. These people working trying to take care of kids. These people working in the nursery. Hey, by the way, you say, preacher, I don't have anything to do. Walk through the building and pick up trash. Hey, man, go out in the parking lot and find somebody trying to find a parking place and help them park. Amen. Find somebody looking for where to go. Show them where to go. Amen. Everybody can get involved. And nobody need to be standing around saying, I don't have nothing to do. There's plenty to do. Amen. Just look around. Find you somebody and latch on to it and say, can I help you? Amen. And be a blessing to help to somebody. I can never remember his name. He's a Yankee, so I don't try. No. I'm kidding about that. I love Yankees too. I don't know why, but I do. But anyway, he'll come down, and you know what he'll do? He'll get involved doing something. If there's anything to be done, I can depend on him helping us do it. He'll get involved doing something. He don't care what it is either. He just want to be a part. Just want to get involved in it and doing something. I say hallelujah. Let's all get personally involved in it. Amen. There's something to do somewhere. And so praise the Lord and hallelujah and glory to God. Jubilee. Amen. But let's really labor getting people to the house of God. Jubilee, jubilee, jubilee. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, thank you for the privilege to be a part of Jubilee. Thank you, Lord, that these elements we talked about today, that we can be personally involved, we can be a part of, not only get blessed by, but be a blessing. Not only find help for ourselves, but, Lord, we can help others find the help they need. So I pray today that you move in this service. Help all of us, Lord, to see what a privilege it is to be a part of what you're doing. Then, Father, I pray for those who've come in. They're unsaved. They don't know they're going to heaven. They don't have that assurance. They need help. I pray the day they find their place in an old-fashioned altar and cry to God. Then I pray for those, Lord, that they know they're saved, but something wrong. They just don't have the joy. Not where they need to be with God. I pray they'll come and bow. And I pray, Father, you'd help every person who has a burden for somebody. They may want to come and bow and pray for them. Help us all to open our hearts to you and what you want us to do and being involved in Jubilee and praying. Help us be a blessing. Lord, it's your Jubilee. It's yours. We want you to have run of the house and you to be magnified and lifted up. In Jesus' name, amen.